Breathe on us, breath of God, fill us with life anew, that we may love the way you love and do what thou would do. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Share with you an excerpt today from an NPR article dated November 4th, 2016, titled The Real Hacksaw Ridge, How a Soldier Saved 75 Souls Without Carrying a Gun. Also, the new movie out based on the topic. Here's the excerpt. Desmond Doss joined the Army as a combat medic because he believed in the cause of World War II. But as a Seventh-day Adventist, he also vowed not to kill. During one of the bloodiest battles of World War II, he saved 75 soldiers without carrying a weapon. The Battle of Hacksaw Ridge in Okinawa was a close combat fight with heavy weaponry. Thousands were killed. And the fact that he survived and saved so many lives has confounded and awed those who know his story. He's now the subject of the new film, Hacksaw Ridge. As a quiet, skinny Seventh-day Adventist, Doss would not touch weapons or work on the Sabbath. The Army made Doss's life hell during training. His fellow soldiers considered him a pest. They questioned his sincerity. They threw stones at him while he prayed. They just saw him as a slacker, someone who should not have been allowed in the Army, and someone who was their weakest link in the chain. His commanding officer tried to get him transferred. But as hard as they tried, the Army couldn't force Doss to use a weapon, because in 1940, a law was passed that allowed conscientious objectors to serve war efforts in non-combatant positions. So Doss went with his company as a medic to the Pacific. And at Okinawa, Doss's company faced a grueling task. Climb a steep, jagged cliff known as Hacksaw Ridge to a plateau where thousands of heavily armed Japanese soldiers were waiting on them. The terrain was treacherous and it was full of caves and holes where the Japanese were dug in. And under a barrage of gunfire and explosions, Doss crawled on the ground from wounded soldier to wounded soldier. He dragged severely injured men to the edge of the ridge, tied a rope around them, and lowered them down to medics below, powered by faith and prayers. Doss saved 75 men, including his captain, who had had to get him transferred, Jack Glover, over a 12-hour period. The same soldiers who had shamed him praised him. In 1945, he received the Medal of Honor from Harry Truman, and he died in 2006. That's Doss's story. Over the 82-day battle in Okinawa, 300,000 people total were believed to have died. I imagine that ridge was filled with death, yet Doss, powered by faith and prayers, went over and over again to give fellow soldiers a chance at life. He kept walking back into that battlefield with strewn body parts to save one more person. Now, we're reaching the age where there are just a few of the World War II veterans in our midst, and I suppose that most of us in this room find the terror of such a battlefield completely unimaginable. I doubt many of us have been placed in a position like Doss to go in and provide life amidst such destruction. But I wonder if we were placed in that position, if we would have the courage to go into the midst of such death. After all, I do think our society is pretty uncomfortable with death. We don't like to go into hospital rooms or visit with the actively dying. We especially don't like to sit with the already dead. We like to dismiss death by using other terms, passing on, expired, perished. And sometimes I wonder if our cultural adversity to recognizing or sitting in the face of death makes us not able to pay attention to smaller deaths in our lives. Deaths that we don't want to face, like deaths of dreams or relationship endings or the grief over loved ones or pieces of ourselves as they're old and withering and dying. I wonder sometimes if we don't have the courage not only to walk into the battlefield, but if we do not have the courage to walk in and face our own destruction head on. Today's readings are full of the imagery of death, full of Hacksaw Ridge type scenes. Ezekiel presents a powerful image of exiled Israel, of dry deserts and valleys, of the shadows of death, of fields strewn with dead bones and broken body parts, of a people whose displacement away from their homes and into the desert has dried them up. Literally, physically, spiritually, and metaphorically, there is death all around. The Israelites have been to Hacksaw Ridge. At least that's what I picture when I picture Ezekiel's field, a place full of death with no hope for life. And like Goss, God enters the field. God's grace comes into those bones. Life is breathed into a place where there is no life at all. And through the power of Ezekiel's words and God's presence, God picks up those dead bones, like the mud of the earth, and shaped mud and bone and muscle and skin back together, like God first shaped Abraham and breathed life. And the bones lived a second chance. A second chance for the people which felt dead in the valley of dry bones. The Lord opened up the graves and poured the Spirit of God upon them and called them back to life and placed them back on their own life-giving soil, carrying them to safe ground. The tomb of Lazarus was a place like Hacksaw Ridge, so full of death and stench that no one wanted to touch or be near Lazarus. After all, he had been dead for 4 days. The smell, the decay, the destruction would have been unimaginable and unbearable. Lazarus certainly had no hope for life again. Mary and Lazarus and the disciples, and probably even some of the Pharisees, knew that if Jesus had been there before Lazarus had died, there would have been hope for healing. But a four-day-old Lazarus was a totally different thing. And new life was an impossibility in the valley of death. And Jesus, as we read today, climbed up onto that field just like Doss did, went into a dangerous situation where he could have lost his life and ultimately did. And against all odds of his friends telling him not to go back to Judea, he climbed into the tomb of Lazarus, and against all odds of death and destruction, and in the valley of dry bones and decaying body parts and darkness, he walked into the tomb and offered Lazarus a second life. This is our Jesus, the one who descends into the valley of the shadow of death to the darkest parts of our lives. This week during our Creed class, we studied the phrase, Jesus descended into the dead. It's a phrase in the Apostles' Creed, the creed we'll use in baptism, the creed we'll say at Easter. A lively conversation commenced. What does it mean that Jesus descended into the dead? The Episcopalians from the 28 prayer book and the Roman Catholics among us reminisced about how they were taught that Jesus descended into hell. Did he? What on earth was he doing there? Why did he go? Did he go to visit or experience the worst life had to offer? Did he go to offer to salvation for those that were already dead? What on earth does it mean that Jesus ascended into the dead? And why did he go? Perhaps I wonder that Jesus descended there, into Hacksaw Ridge, into that field of dry bones, into that tomb of dead Lazarus, into our own hearts that are dead, to remind us that there is nowhere, nowhere on earth or in hell or in the dead or the darkest parts of our soul that Jesus is not afraid to go with us. For there is no place where we can flee from the life-giving Spirit of God. So we enter into this final stage of Lent. We're entering a time when we can safely descend into the darkest places of our souls, to face our destruction head on, to remember that Jesus is by our side with the promise of new life and resurrection. For there is no place in our souls or in our graves or in our deadness or in our personal hells that Jesus is not afraid to go with us. And even in our darkest nights, we proclaim, Jesus descended into the dead and on the third day rose again. In the words from our epistle this morning, but if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So for this last part of Lent, may we pray for God to breathe on us, to breathe on us breath of God so that we shall never die, because life with you is perfect life for all eternity.